of this, it's a brief series on when you're running on empty. When you're running on empty, when you're spiritually empty. And today I want to talk to you about lightening your load, because I believe that lightening your load is going to be an important part of not only refueling, like we talked about last week, but maintaining that. We need to lighten our load at times. I remember years ago when Jen and I were still in Bible school, I was working as a youth pastor in a small town of Cassville, Missouri. Well, summertime came, and we take our kids to youth camp in summer there, not like winter here, but it was about also July. And we got all our kids together. The church had a large 15-passenger Ford van. It was a big American van, and it had a big, thirsty V8 in it. So we had a big van with a V8. We had 15 passengers on board with a bunch of luggage, and we were towing a rather large trailer. And we were going to the Rocky Mountains. So we're going mostly uphill, both ways, no, just one way, but uphill into the wind, towing a trailer with a heavy load in a V8 motor. And I swear you could almost see the needle of the fuel gauge move as you were driving. And we didn't get very far before we had to keep pulling over, filling up that thirsty beast, and starting out on the road again. Pulling over, filling it up, starting on the road again. And the point is this: the heavier the load you carry, the sooner that you're going to run out of gas, right? And I want to say to you, I think a lot of you today are carrying really heavy loads. You're carrying heavy loads on yourself. You're overloaded in many ways, physically, emotionally. Some of you in your relationships are overloaded. All these things load you down. And so you're continually running on empty and you're not refueling. You're loaded down. I received an email, a personal email a while back. I won't tell you the sender, but it says, I'm tired of always rushing to the next activity. Even after a night's sleep, I'm feeling drained and fatigued. Everybody's trying to do so much. We don't have time to do what's important because each moment is packed. This is madness, and I can't believe it's God's will for my life. I really want to learn how to rest and relax in God's plan. Not just for my own health, but because I can see how my kids are learning the same crazy lifestyle. You know, as you read that, maybe you can relate to it, but as I read it, that last part also gets to me, because we're doing this series for two reasons. Number one, we care about you and your health, not just your physical health. I think God wants us to be healthy in every aspect. He wants us to be physically healthy, emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy. But we also are doing this for our kids' sake. Because if you don't get a handle on it, the chances are that you're teaching and you're training your kids the same erratic kind of lifestyle and the same overloaded lifestyle that you have been experiencing. Jesus, today we're going to look at three sentences that he makes. Three simple sentences. All the books and strategies and seminars that you can go to on managing stress are not going to amount to any greater than what Jesus said in three simple sentences. Now, I can't control the circumstances in your life. I can't control what's going to happen in your life. There are going to be stresses in your life. But the stresses don't have to stress you out. There are going to be things that happen in your life this coming week, perhaps, that are beyond your control, but you don't have to let them stress you out and load you down. I carry stress in my life. I carry a lot of stress in my life. But I don't need to be stressed, because I'm realizing that it's not myself that's carrying that stress. but it's God that's going to carry that stress for me. There's a big difference. So you can learn these principles, these three essential sentences that Jesus says in these verses. And if you do, I believe that this could be a turning point in your life in dealing with the stress, the worry, the tension, problems that you take on board yourself. And you're carrying a heavy load and you're running out of gas. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Is very noisy. Pardon? You're pointing. What are you pointing at? I don't know sign language very good. I'll try to be very still. Let's read this. Verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want you to notice three words, and these three words are going to be the three points that we're going to take a look at this morning. Circle these in your Bible. The three words are come, take, and learn. Come, take, and learn. Number one, write this down. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the starting point. You need to turn to Him. I'm speaking to non-Christian, yeah. If you're here today and you're just checking things out and you've never at any time made a spiritual decision to give your life to Christ, to receive Him as your Savior, I'm speaking to you. Because you're also getting loaded down, you're getting stressed out, you're getting burned out, and Jesus is calling to you saying, come to me. I'm going to make your load light. But I'm also speaking to Christians because I believe a lot of Christians still continue to try to carry the load themselves. They try to live their lives themselves. And they find out it doesn't work. And then they look to God and say, God, how did you let this happen to me? And God's message is still the same. Come to me. Come to me. I want to make your burden light. This is the starting point. In the Bible, we read about people coming to Jesus for a lot of different reasons. But one of the main reasons that Jesus says you come to Him is for rest. People came to Him to be healed. They came to Him to listen to what He had to say, to learn something. People come to Him for encouragement during bad times. But He says, I want you to come to me for rest. Rest for your souls. The deepest rest that you need is soul rest. Your biggest stress and your biggest tension is not from worn out, tired muscles. Although, looking around, you know, you guys, it's okay. You need to exercise the muscles. Some of you are getting a little flabby. Exercise a little bit. It's good for you. But that's not where the biggest part of your tension is. The biggest stress in your life comes from a lack of soul rest, comes from anxiety, comes from guilt, resentment, comes from fear, worry, a tired mind. And He says, I want you to come to me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Does that sound like an offer that is interesting to you this morning? Soul rest, rest for your souls. Let me ask you a personal question. How do you normally, typically unwind when you're stressed out? You're stressed out, you're tired, your load is heavy. How do you wind down? How do you relax? Many people do various things. Some people go to movies and just want to sit and relax and not think about anything for a while. And I'm not saying going to movies is wrong. I took the family out and we saw Shrek recently. And we had a great time. Stupid movie, but we had a great time. Have you seen Shrek? Anybody like it? Okay, well. Some people go out to dinner. You know, the wife is stressed out. She says, you know, I really don't want to cook. It would relieve my load if we just go out to dinner. Husbands, take your wife out to dinner sometimes. Some people look to hobbies. And, you know, I just entertain myself with hobbies, or I occupy myself with hobbies, and that helps me relieve my stress. And these are all good things. These aren't necessarily bad things. But it's not rest for the soul. It may rest your body, but it won't rest your spirit. It won't rest your soul. There's only one thing that can rest, give rest to your spirit, that can give rest to your very soul. And that one thing is God, Jesus Christ. That one thing is Jesus Christ. God can rest your soul. He can give you that inner peace that de-stresses you. In Isaiah 40, verse 29, we sing a song similar to this. It says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Verse 31, But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. An antidote to renewing your strength is to simply wait on the Lord. He says the answer is not in another program. It's not in another pill. It's in a person. He says, he doesn't even say you need to come to church. He doesn't say it's in a small group or a Bible study. He says it's in me. It's in me. Come to me. So what does this mean? I don't know when the last time was that you spent some time alone with God. But it says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. When's the last time you waited on the Lord? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Sometimes it means simply being quiet and sitting still alone with God and allowing Him to speak to you. Allowing Him to give you something that He wants to give to you. I often like to do this. Sometimes I like to do this outside, not in the cold and in the rain. But I like to be outside. I like to spend time alone with God. And while I spend time in prayer and I spend time in reading His Word, there's times I just want to say, God, I don't want to focus on anything right now. I want to sit still and I want to wait on You. I might wait 10 minutes. And I'm not here to say God specifically speaks in an audible voice to me. That's not what I'm talking about. He doesn't need to. But I do believe that God allows thoughts in your heart and your mind that come from Him that are to be tested by His Word, absolutely. But He leads us. And in this leading, He calls it, you know, when the devil puts thoughts in our minds, we call it temptation. When God puts thoughts in our minds, that's inspiration more than temptation. And there was a time, a long time, that, you know, I used to hesitate in saying that God can speak to your mind and put thoughts in it. But I also realized at the same time, while I was doing that, I was realizing, hey, Satan puts thoughts in my mind all the time. Satan is continually putting thoughts in my mind, and they're called temptations. Ken, you're not doing enough. Ken, why don't you do this? And so I realize God also uses my mind to speak to me as well. Now it goes in conjunction with His Word. And He uses His Word. And often He brings to mind the Word as He wants to speak to you. And it's through His Word that He does speak to us. And so I'm not here to tell you that you just don't need the Bible anymore. You need to sit quietly for 10 minutes every day and let God speak directly to you. That will get you in big trouble. Amen? Don't do it. But I am here to tell you that there are times you need to wait on the Lord. Don't fill your mind. Last week I was talking to you about how obsessed we are with noise in our society. We wake up in the morning to the alarm clock and we continue with noise until the moment that we go to bed. And silence at times is almost deafening. And it makes people uncomfortable. I guarantee you right now, if I stopped talking and we just sat in silence for 5 minutes here, people would get nervous. You want to try it? People would get nervous and not know what on earth we're doing. Why are we just being quiet? We got to have some noise. We got to have somebody speaking. There has to be some background noise.
Wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Get alone with God. Spend some time with Him. Pray with Him. Read what He has to say. And just be quiet for a while.
How do you do that? I like this passage, Matthew 6:6. In the Message, it's a paraphrase, but it says, "Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God." When you pray, the Bible says, this is between you and God. It's not to impress anybody else. Have you ever known somebody to pray a prayer and it sounds almost like they're trying to impress people around them? Have you ever heard those kinds of prayers which are more preaching prayers? And they preach to everybody and they want to expand their knowledge. And it just sounds to me like they're not really praying to God, but they're praying more to everyone else. The Bible says, Jesus says that if you're going to pray, if you're going to really talk to God, do it quietly. Find a private place so that you're not tempted to impress people with your prayers. Don't wonder what people are thinking of your prayers. Or how are they rating it, you know? And after you're finished praying, are they going to hold up a card saying 9.9? What if I get a 2 or a 3? Oh man, I've really blown it this time. Don't try to impress with your prayers. Even as believers, sometimes our first option is not always to go to the Lord in times of stress, in times when we're loaded down. Often it's the first thing is to go to entertainment. Entertainment. You come to Christ. Come to me when you're heavy laden, when you're burdened down. I will give you rest. How many of you need body rest? We know when our bodies are worn out. They get achy. They get tired. We're sleepy. Sometimes you guys come to church on Sunday morning, and I don't know why, but sometimes you can just tell the place is sleepy. The place needs awakening. They're a little bit dead this morning. And I know Lolita, she can sense it because she's up here looking at all of you guys. And I'm singing and I want to worship the Lord, but I take a look at some of you guys at times, I'm like, wake up! We're worshiping the Lord, amen? We have an appointment that we set aside each week to come together and worship the Lord. Is it important? Is it important? Are your actions showing that it's important? If our actions are showing it's important, then what we say and what we do are lining up. And that's why I want to stress, and I will continue to stress, guys, this is not a social visit. Socializing comes, and that's a benefit. Our fellowship is a benefit, but we're here to serve and to worship our Lord. Don't be late to worship the Lord. This morning, it was pretty empty again when it's time to start. You don't do that. We don't do that. This is important. We say that we're here to worship the Lord. Our actions make statements. And by dragging in late continually, I'm not talking about the exception. Hey, if you had a flat tire on the way to church this morning, I understand. But I'm talking about continually. There's a problem. There's a problem. You're not fully understanding the importance of what it is that you do. You're not seeing it. So how many of you need body rest? You could use a nap this afternoon. How many of you need soul rest? You don't need to raise your hands, but I'm sure a number of you in the room at this time need some soul rest. Come to Him. Come to Jesus. Number two is this. You need to give up control. Give up control. I don't know if you guys knew it, but my dad was also a pilot. Not a commercial pilot, but he had his pilot's license. And he loved planes more than anything. He loved planes. He loved to talk about them. He loved to read about them. And he loved to fly them. He could look up in the sky and see an airline flying by, and he could tell you the kind of plane it was, the model, details about it. And I just see a plane. A big plane, small plane. That's all I know about planes. But I remember as a boy, we lived up north, and Dad would go out once in a while to fly. Just rent a plane and go up in the air. He absolutely loved it. And one time, I was about 8 years old, and I went up with him. And he said, "Ken, you take the reins. You take the wheel." And I think about my 8 year old. I mean, I got Charlie, he's turning 8 soon, and I would never do that with Charlie. I don't know why. But I'm 8 years old, I'm flying a plane. And I don't know what I'm doing. I just know, you know, you turn the wheel like a video game. We didn't have video games back then either. But you know, I started going off course, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to correct it. And the best thing I could do was to be able to say, "Dad, you take over. Dad, take over." He knew what he was doing. He knew how to fly. He had the license. And I could have held on to it and just tried to correct it myself and drove us all into the ground. Or I could have said, "Dad, you need to take it. You need to correct it. You need to get us back on course. Because if I continue, I'm going to mess things up in a really bad way." And some of you think it all depends on you. Some of you think that your life depends on you. Some of you think that the universe depends on you. If you don't hold it all together, it's not going to be held together. And you're living under a heavy load and a heavy stress. But I want you to know that you're not the general manager of the universe. And if you resign today, things won't fall apart. If you resign as the manager of your universe, things will not fall apart. A simple illustration, you fill up a bucket full of water. You stick your hand in the bucket. And then you pull your hand out and see how big a hole you left. How big a hole did you leave? I don't know, it's a simple illustration. You didn't leave a very big hole. And some of you think, "Man, if I give up control of my universe, then everything's going to be chaos and everything's going to be falling apart." The truth is, the greater the need, your need to control, the more stressed your life is going to be. And some of you right now are perhaps thinking, "I'm not a high control person." In life, we often have high control freaks, and then we have very passive people. But I want to suggest to you that everybody is a high control person in different ways. But everybody is a high control person. You may have your overtly controllable people, but you also have your quiet people who in their ways want to control things. And they do it in different ways, often in manipulative ways, to get their things done the way they want done. Everybody's a control person. Here's Jesus' second solution. He says, "Come to me first." And then he says, "Take my yoke on you. Take my yoke upon you." Maybe you're saying, "Wait a second, that doesn't sound like relaxing to me. It doesn't sound like easing a burden. It sounds like, great, I'm getting another load dumped on me." Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll put another load on you." But you don't understand what this is meaning when he says, "Take my yoke on you." Maybe you didn't grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up on a farm. I didn't have to go yoke up any cows and oxen. But what is a yoke? It's not a funny story. That's a joke. It's not the yellow part of an egg. The yoke. What is a yoke? It's a simple single piece of wood that brings two farm animals together so that the load can be shared and their load is lighter. That's simply it. It's a single piece of wood that joins two farm animals together to lighten the load that they have to pull. With a yoke, you team up two or more so that the load is halved. The yoke is a symbol when Jesus was speaking. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." It's a symbol of a couple of basic things. Number one, it's a symbol of partnership. It's a symbol of partnership. He's saying, "I'm willing to come alongside. I'm willing to share your burdens, to share your load, to pull it for you, to make it lighter on you." You may be a believer, but if you're stressed out continually and overloaded, then you're not connected to Christ. You're not yoked together with Him at that time. You're not teamed up to Him. You're not in partnership. How do I know? The proof is simply that you're stressed out. You're stressed out. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if you're going through life stressed out and heavy burdened,
then you're not teamed up to Christ. You're not teamed up. The second thing is a symbol of partnership, and it's also a symbol of control. You got two guys teamed up together, two cows or oxen, and they're teamed up together. One of them wants to go off into the ditch and get lost and mess. He's not able to, because the other one's controlling and keeping him on the path, keeping him the direction that they're supposed to be going. So it's also a symbol of control. And Jesus says, team up with me. Team up with me. And I want partnership, and I also want to take control and keep you on the path. Keep you on the path that I have for you, the plan that I have for you. Now, the funny truth about this is you're already yoked to something today. If you're not yoked to Christ, you're yoked to something today. If you're going to be yoked to something in life, isn't it smarter to choose the lightest load possible? It's an exchange. It's an exchange. It says, take off the heavy yokes and the loads that you have. Take my yoke on you. It's not an additional load. It's not something that he wants to add to our stress list. He says, take off what you have. Yoke up to me. Team up with me. I never meant for you to walk through this life alone. I never meant for you to do it on your own strength and on your own power. And those of you who are trying to live life in your strength and power, and you find the more you try, the more stressed out you get, and the more out of control things seem to be going. And you get greater stress. And you're running on empty. Fact is, if we were to do an x-ray of your life, most of you probably aren't carrying one yoke. You're carrying all kinds of yokes. Dozens of yokes. There are all kinds of yokes on you. Some of you got financial yokes. They're heavy. Physical yokes. Relational yokes. Yokes at work. Community yokes. Church yokes. All these different yokes. And they're heavy. And sometimes we think the antidote to stress is escape. Escape. If I could just have a week in Tahiti, then I can get away from all my stresses and it would all go away. You been to Tahiti? I've been to Tahiti, and I went there, and guess what? There was stress there. You know why? Because I was there. And it went with me. And it doesn't just go away. It distracts you for a little while, perhaps, but it doesn't go away. And I can't tell you how many times, immigrants, listen to me. As a fellow immigrant, as one immigrant to another immigrant, I want you to listen to me. Sometimes, I've seen many times this happen. People come, immigrants come from different countries around the world to come and live and settle here. And the stress gets to them. It's not heaven on earth. It's not necessarily the paradise that you imagined it to be when you were moving. Nothing is. Nothing is. And you get here. And the stress piles on, and the difficulties pile on, and you think, man, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what the brochure said when I came. And so you decide, I'm going to move somewhere else. I'm going to pack up and move. And you pack up and move. And the reason that you do that is because you think escape is the answer to the stress. And I've seen so many times people do the move again and they get to the next destination. And guess what happens? They're under the same stress. The newness, the honeymoon wears off and they're under the same stress. It's happened in my life. I remember it happening in my dad's life. And I've seen it happen in many lives. So I'm telling you right now that the answer to your stress and situations and your problems that you may be facing here, even in a new country, isn't escape. It's not escape. I'm not saying you're trapped here forever and ever until the Lord comes back again. But I'm saying that's not the answer to your stress problems. That's not the answer to that. What does this mean then? It means that I should live, I believe, with a certain kind of attitude. And I want to suggest to you that an attitude, I hate the cliche, but an attitude of gratitude is a healthy emotion. Gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that we can have in life. It takes stress right down. And I believe that's why throughout the Bible, especially the Psalms, it says, give thanks to the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. It says, say thank you. Say thank you. When you say thank you to God, when you praise Him, it brings the stress level immensely down because you're reminding yourself you're relying on Him, you're relying on Him. I want to teach you a word. It's a universal word. It doesn't matter where you're from and what language you speak. Everybody knows this word. And it doesn't matter where you're at. It means the same thing. I want to teach you a word. This word is hallelujah. Okay? How do you say it in Chinese? Oh, very good. Indonesian? Oh, it sounds close. Sounds close. Any other language? Okay. Hallelujah. Say it with me. You know what it means? Praise the Lord. And so, be liberal with your hallelujahs. Don't overdo it, but be liberal with your hallelujahs. Praise the Lord continually. Live with an attitude of gratitude. Take His yoke upon you. Give up control in your life. And whatever situation the Lord has you in, give Him thanks. Give gratitude to Him. Thirdly, we need to learn to trust. He says, come to me. Come to Jesus Christ. He says, give up control. Take off your heavy burdens. Take off your yokes. Put mine upon you. Let me share that load with you that you're trying so desperately to carry. And then He says, I want you to learn to trust. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You want to find rest for your souls? He says, learn from me. Learn. And that's going to take a little bit of time. He says, watch me. He modeled how to live. He modeled how to live with purpose, and He modeled how to live with peace in His life. Would you say there were some stresses that, outside stresses that were dumped on Jesus? Absolutely. A lot of stresses, more than I would want to carry. He had the stress of thousands of people who were demanding from Him. He had the stress of thousands of others who hated Him and wanted to see Him destroyed. He had the stress of taking the sins of people on Him to the cross. He had a great amount of stress on Him, but He modeled living with purpose and living with peace. There was never a time that Jesus was just ready to pull His hair out and didn't have peace in His life. He was ready to pull His hair out when He saw people doing stupid things, when people made Him angry. But He never was stressed out and lost His peace. He says, study me, watch me, learn from me. Learning doesn't happen overnight. And so there's not going to be a prayer that you're going to be able to say right now that just takes away all stress. It doesn't work that way. It's going to be some learning of Him. Learning the way He does things. Watching Him. What am I supposed to learn? What can I learn from Jesus that will lower my stress? He says, learn from me. I am gentle and humble. He says, learn from me gentleness and humbleness. You want peace in your life? You want a stress reduction? He says, learn from me. Learn how I am gentle and how I am humble. You would think, if you're like me, you would think that Jesus would say, learn from me, and I will teach you endurance and stamina to get through the stress in your life. Or learn from me, and I will teach you how to have strength and power to get through the stress in your life. But He says, learn from me gentleness and humbleness. I believe, I want to give you two words that I believe are big causes of great stress in your life. The first word is aggression. What is aggression? We do things quickly. We don't wait. We don't think about it. We don't ponder. We don't delay. We just act, or we just react. The second thing is something called arrogance. Arrogance. That's the whole idea of trying to control everything in your life. That you can control everything in your life. That is arrogance. God never intended you to be able to control everything in your life. You're not that powerful. You're not God. Thinking that I know what's best all the time. That I know what's best for me. And so I'm going to control my life. So between aggression and arrogance, we pile on stress in our lives. He says, learn from me. Learn gentleness. Learn humbleness. The reason why Jesus wasn't stressed out is he only did what God had told him to do. He didn't do more. He didn't do less. He came to fulfill a purpose, and that was his focus. Anything else was a distraction. Any other stresses that people tried to dump on him, he didn't wear it. Because he came to focus on what God had called him to do and on what God had wanted him to do. He didn't worry about what other people thought. And some of us stress too much because we're worried about what other people think of us. Let me tell you, there were plenty of people that did not like Jesus at all. Did that give him sleepless nights? He slept better than you did. He slept better than you. It didn't bother him because he knew who he was. He knew what his purpose was. And he didn't waver from that. He didn't even have his own preferences. His preference was to do the will of God. Even on the night before he was to be crucified, his preference was saying, God, this may be what I would like, but over above all, I want what you want. I want your will to be done. And if your will is for me to go to the cross and to die and to take on the sins of the world and to save the world through that sacrifice, that's what I'm willing to do. Today I have an invitation for you. Well, not me so much. Today I believe that you have one of the greatest invitations you could ever have. We get invitations every week. Well, a lot of times, maybe not every week, but we get invitations to parties, to baby showers, graduations, you name it. We're getting invitations to things. But you're never going to get an invitation like this. No one is going to offer you this. Jesus is saying, come to me. He's saying, give up control. Learn to trust. Learn to trust me. What is it that's weighing you down this morning? What are the yokes that you're wearing this morning? I want you to respond today to an invitation from Jesus to come to Him, to lay your yokes aside, to take on His, and to let Him share the load in partnership, to let Him share that, to let Him have control and keep you on the path, keep you in His purpose, keep you in the direction that He wants you to go. Would you respond to His invitation this morning? Would you like that? Would you stand with me, please? What is it that's weighing you down? What yokes are you wearing? Is it, honestly, some people I know, it's going to be health. It's a stress, it's a burden, it's weighing you down. Maybe it's children. You who are raising teenagers at this time, my heart goes out to you. But maybe that's a yoke that you're wearing and it's weighing you down and it's a stress on you. Maybe it's your job or your lack of a job. I don't know. But that's what is
What is the heaviest yoke that's on you right now? What's weighing you down? Anxiety, your finances. Maybe it's aging parents. Indecision about the future. Uncertainty about the future. God knows what's on your heart. He knows what's weighing you down. And He's inviting you today, just like He did back then. He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. Take My yoke on you. Give up the control that you're trying to have in your own life. Take My yoke on you and learn from Me. Learn from Him. Learn to trust Him. And today, the invitation here is the same. To come to Him. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to first ask a question. My question is first to anybody in the room who has never come to Jesus. And I'm talking about for your salvation, for your forgiveness, to have a relationship with Him. You're seeking, you're checking things out, but you haven't come to a time and a place where you say, God, I need You. I need Your forgiveness. I need You to give me a new start, a new life. Is there anyone who would say, and I'm not going to call you or get anyone to get you. I'm just wanting to pray first this morning. Is there anyone who would say, Pastor Ken, I haven't done that. I don't know if I've ever trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Is there anyone who would acknowledge that? Raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I don't know. I've never come to Christ. I don't believe I've ever come to Christ. Is there anyone who would acknowledge that? I'm interested, but I don't think I've ever done that.